This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06 on this Monday morning, November 18th. Nice to be back. And again, my many great thanks to everybody from Matt Rothschild to Todd Alba to Luke Mathers, everybody who helped filled in while I was away in Idaho for the week. Having fun with the grandkids and staring at the mountains and saying, where do we go from here? And here's where we go forward. It's what we've always done. It's what we just are going to keep doing. If you're lucky, you get to do it with friends like Greg Bach and, you know, Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller or whoever your particular crew is. But it was a wonderful vacation. Rob from Tigerton says, welcome back, Pat. I hope you had a great vacation. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that very much. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear in 28, getting some outdoors work done before the rain and colder weather comes. I watched football yesterday with the Packer game. You almost had a cardiac arrest, and then watched the Buffalo Bills beat Kansas City in a great game. This week is Weather Awareness Week in Wisconsin. And he also puts here on Facebook, get your medical advice from doctors, not RFK Jr.'s beliefs. Wow. Kristen has more knowledge than RFK Jr.
Boom.
Thanks, Rob.
That is correct. And Tony points out it's all about the friends that we make along the way. We were talking a bit about this in the last hour, and Alicia writes in from Northeast Wisconsin on YouTube. Don't even get me started on autism. It makes me so angry, she says in so many words, when I'm told my son is autistic because of vaccines. He was autistic before he received any vaccines. My mother had scared me so much that my son didn't have vaccines till he was about 7. So no, the vaccines do not create it. Kristen, I heard this as a legislator all the time, knocking on doors from folks. How you overcome so much misinformation about just this one topic, much less everything else that you and my wife, you know, when she's like, a patient says, oh, I saw on the internet, and you're not allowed to roll your eyes at your patients, but I'm sure you feel that way sometimes.
I always approach patient interactions as if I were the patient. And what I want is somebody who listens to me and acknowledges the things that I'm concerned about and will help me make the best decisions for myself. But that means that you have to be able to be objective and curious and look at all of the data that's out there and figure out how it applies to you. And so just writing off vaccines because you hear on a TikTok video or a bunch of TikTok videos that vaccines cause autism or other bad things. Like, yeah, sometimes people do have adverse reactions related to vaccines, and we're always looking into this. There's actually a whole system that's available for people who have adverse reactions, and it's important to report those. But that doesn't mean vaccines are bad. Most vaccines are good. They are life-saving. They have been a game changer for public health. And this is a much bigger discussion than just something that you can do on social media.
Yeah, and it's there's so much more detail that, again, experts are the ones who know the most about it and have the conversation with them. Right. It makes perfect sense.
It's never black and white. It's always all these shades of gray, which is why you have to be the person who is in charge of making your own healthcare decisions with the counsel of other people who know what they're talking about.
And not the government. Okay, go ahead, Selena.
Emery got a flu shot the other day, and then she heard of, you know, the controversy over vaccines and things, and I did not explain at that time until this came up. And then she said, why would people want me to get sick? She even knew as a 7-year-old. I thought, Yeah.
That makes me so sad, you know, because people die of flu. And when you get a flu shot, it's not unusual to feel like you're getting a mild version of the flu. That's your immune system kicking in to create those antibodies that are going to protect you. But it's confusing for people. And, you know, for us as medical professionals, if we don't explain that to our patients and help people understand what to expect, that's on us too.
I know, but you have to do it in such a nice way. And I understand why. But when I do hear, and I've heard people say, oh, I got the flu shot once, but it made me sick. And it was all I could do. Just want to grab them by the lapels and just go, that's what it's supposed to do. It means it's working. It means you didn't get a much worse version of this.
Yeah, but we're not having those conversations, which is why we have to continue to be persistent and available and trustworthy. And, you know, that's my goal. That's my post-election goal. Friends, is to be out there trying to be helpful, to help people save lives. That's the whole reason I ran for Congress in the first place. Help people live better lives. Bingo.
I get it. But I've had some time to think about this in the past week.
Yes, you have.
And I have read everybody's opinion, 8 ways to Sunday, on what happened and on where we go from here. And, you know, don't blame the voters. And yet, by the same token, I know some of the stuff that some of them listen to. Mm-hmm. And it is, in some ways, I feel like what I want to do next was inspired by VH1's show Pop-Up Videos. I just want to be a... I want to be a bubble. I'm going to be the bubble that shows up on your radio every so often and says, no, actually. And then just says,
I want to be involved. I want to be involved.
Okay, good. Welcome to my bubble.
This is a new endeavor.
Yes, we're just going to be the little pop-up bubbles. Yes, thank you. And do exactly that. I should mention that coming up on the program yet, at the bottom of the hour, is State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire and Representative-elect Christian Phelps from the Eau Claire area. Christian, of course, frequently joined us on Wednesday mornings when he was working with the Wisconsin Public Education Network and now gets to advocate for public education and so much more as a member of the legislature. So we're looking forward to that. And by the way, we've had some fun with Jody on this program because Jody is not a morning person.
No.
She sends me this note going, just so you know, Christian's even less of a morning person. And I'm like, don't even. Because Christian's been on several times at 7:30 and not a word out of him of complaint about the early hour that is involved here. So and thank you, Alicia, for putting up on YouTube just now. I volunteer to be involved too as part of our pop-up bubbles. Pop-up bubbles of facts or something. We're gonna have to workshop that name, Greg. We gotta come up with something.
Big
pop-up
old pop-up
patio.
We're not getting sued again by VH1. Okay, that's just not happening.
Yeah, it's got to evoke it, but without copying it. Something like
busy,
that.
Busy, effervescent. Oh, we can workshop this.
Maybe it involves Lawrence Welk and all of his champagne bottles.
I'm hearing know. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what are the
great! Now we're doing all this. Stuff.
No, actually, with Pat Kreitlow. There it is.
We are here to solve the heartburn of misinformation.
Plop, plop. I don't know if
plop.
You want to
I don't think plop plop is going to work out so well for that one. We'll continue to workshop it. Brittany is off for a couple of days here. I can tell you that 7 a.m. bus stop temperatures look like this. It's 25 in Chippewa, 26 in Hayward. Wausau's at 28, La Crosse 32. Amory is at 34 right now. It's 26 in Rapids, 33 in Green Bay, 32 in Madison, 32 in Waukesha, and it is 34 at Radio Park in Racine. I can also let you know that you can stay in touch with Up North News and its unabashedly Wisconsin news through our daily newsletter. Sign up over at our website, that is upnorthnewswi.com, and click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage, and you can see all kinds of reporting from characters like Selena Heller, who this week is telling us that, and again, please don't take this out on your radio, but the next election isn't that terribly far away. And we're going to be voting in April for a new state Supreme Court justice, for state superintendent of public instruction, and for school boards. And, you know, as Kristen knows from being a candidate, these local elections, they matter so much, and you want good people on school boards. And that's one of the things I'm sure you'll be talking about between now and April.
this is a place where people can really insert themselves right now. People mm-hmm. who are feeling that frustration and want to do something locally is where you can really make a huge impact on the things that affect you the most.
Yes. And it's not just being a school board candidate, but, you know, you can be involved in school districts, you know, meetings and things like that. Selena, so who have you been talking to about that?
Dr. Lori Bika, she's the senior most member of the Eau Claire Area School District, the school board here in Eau Claire. And she's and you might find this in all of your communities across the state, that school boards and other entities are holding informational sessions. So the Eau Claire Area School District is holding an informational session this Thursday to talk about such things, how to become a member of the school board, be involved and get your questions answered, kind of like the time commitment, responsibilities, and what your role is, and just things like that. Just to get answers to your questions if you are ever interested. So,
okay, well, let's hear what Lori Bika says about getting involved with your local school board.
There are lots of ways to get involved with a school district, and especially for parents, in starting at the building level, you could be a volunteer, you know, at your child's school. You could join the parent, you know, the family, teacher, family organization. I think school boards are, you know, like especially appeal to people who are interested in systems and structures and want to set, you know, to set policy for a school district. And then to monitor, to assess the, you know, the outcomes related to that, to those policy decisions. So that's sort of the, you know, the level that the school board operates. But yeah, for people, lots of different walks of life, many different skill sets are really needed on a school board.
No doubt there. And we've seen all kinds on there. And I tell you what, before we get to the break, should we talk, hear what Dr. Bika had to say about finding the right balance of what taxpayers should be expecting from a school board? Let's give a listen to that.
It's a school board responsibility to really understand, you know, the needs of the taxpayer and of taxpayers and maybe the resources that taxpayers have. So just as an example, in Eau Claire, and like many school districts, we always have data collection with our community in the very early stages of referendum planning. So in that data collection, and we have a representative sample of voters and taxpayers in Eau Claire, where we learn you know, about their relationships to the school district, their kind of goals and hopes and dreams for Eau Claire schools, and even including how, you know, how they're doing financially and economically. And if the district does go to referendum, you know, kind of what do they feel that they can contribute? And then we set the funding amount based on that community data collection. So it really is like community and taxpayers are an important part of referendum development, because you have to understand what your community goals are, and just like I said, where people are financially, and then hit the right balance.
Well, when you have good people involved, but sometimes because of school board elections, it ends up going sideways. And we're going to talk more about that with Selena Heller, Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach, Pat Wrightlow here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Billy Joel's 52nd Street, the number one album this week in 1978, 46 years ago. Yikes. Selena Heller with us from Up North News. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. Greg Bach is here as well on this Monday morning as Pat works, figures out how his mouth works again after being off for a week. We were chatting. Talking about Greg.
What?
Greg.
Everyone else was laughing. I'm not the only one.
They're laughing at my inability to speak. They weren't looking to necessarily engage in some wordplay, shall we say. Let's see if we can't get this conversation back on the rails. Just 72 seconds in from the commercial break, where Selena was talking to us about school boards, school districts, it's still early in the school year. And when we come off the election and talk about getting involved and being involved, yeah, some places start groups. You know, we talked about Motherhood for Good, and there was Northern Door Activism and all these other things. You don't necessarily have to start a group. There are already established entities out there. And frankly, school districts would be one of them, your local schools. And Selena, the point you were making is that, you know, good help is always welcome.
Oh my goodness. So, so welcome. No matter what you can do, just be a part of it and volunteer or tell the teachers, you know, you can help in the classroom if they need it, or just anytime you can show up or read in the kids' classroom, anything like that, just to show that you want to be involved, you want to know what's going on. You can do any little thing, and just to get to know the other parents and just have that kind of a network too, and a support network, and just to talk about anything that's going on in the school or the district, just talk and be involved in any way you can. Maybe you work during the day, you can't get to the school, of course, that's difficult. So just any meeting you can go to listen, to see what's going on in the district, or, I mean, help is always needed, or just ears, or just anything.
And Kristen, you had to have spoken with so many school administrators throughout the 8th Congressional District about, you know, how much they would like more support, not just financial support, but actually, you know, true support from having more people involved.
Oh, for sure. I think to Selena's point, there is a place for all of us to get involved. And I think one of the biggest barriers that we see from citizens is that they want to be part of it, but they don't know how, and they don't know what kind of a commitment it's going to be. So a really easy first step would be just, you know, like Selena said, volunteer or go to a school board meeting. They're posted. Just go, show up, sit in the back of the room, listen, hear what they have to say. And, you know, maybe you audit school board meetings and you decide, I could do a better job than the person who's up for election in the spring, and you end up running. Signature collection starts in December. Maybe you audit for a year and you run for school board next year. Or maybe you just audit and you are an engaged community member. And it doesn't just have to be school board. It could be city council. It could be county board. All of these things are public leadership opportunities for you to engage on a level where you feel comfortable and where you feel like you can make a difference.
And it could involve something where you're in a lot of meetings. It could involve something where you're in a lot of classrooms. It could involve something where you never leave your kitchen, Selena, as the person who takes care of all the bake sale items.
So much baking. Oh, my goodness. And I was just told the other day, and we're going to have more bake sales because they go over so well. People love them. Like, oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can bake anymore.
So here's the deal, folks. Go to those meetings or you get volunteered to do things if you're not there to defend yourself.
Well, that's my question is, like, first of all, I'm beginning to think that Selena only lives in that small box that I see every single Monday. It's just that's
yes,
the only
pretty much.
But also, yeah, when they say we're gonna have another bake sale, are the people saying we're gonna have another bake sale baking as well, or is it a we're in the royal we, but it's really you, Selena, who's doing the work?
Well, that's what I thought. I'm like, we go over so well, but people who's, actually,
yeah, like, who is this we of which you speak?
Oh, nothing more annoying.
All my
than
stuff
when,
is purchased.
Yeah,
so that's good.
Did we vacuum the living room? Did we vacuum the living room?
That's how I talk to my kids.
Yeah, did we? Yeah. So no, many ways to be involved, and that's a good thing. And again, not just school districts, but all the other entities that are out there. There have been people involved with things that I want to take a moment on a serious note. I want to recognize the passing of some folks while I was away. We did talk, I think, yes, in the week prior about Jonathan Brostoff, former state assembly rep, Milwaukee Common Council. But also passing over the past week was another former legislator, Fred Kessler, who many years ago was the youngest ever state legislator. But then I got to know him when he came back to the legislature much later in life. And he was such an advocate for redistricting and for fairer maps, and was a true leader on how that process should work. And then there was Sue Miller in the Eau Claire area, who was a tireless advocate for labor and for education and for Democrats who are running in the area. Selena, I'm sure you must have interviewed Sue Miller once or twice over the years as well.
Oh, gosh, a lot of times. And she was just so gracious and always wanting just to talk about all of those causes and things that you talked about. And she just has such a distinctive voice. And when I heard of her passing, I thought, oh, my gosh, I just heard her. I just heard her talking.
Oh, yeah. And by distinctive voice, we mean in the most loving way, you know, three packs of Marlboros a day. But, you know, you knew you were talking to Sue when you were talking to Sue, and never anything but encouraging and full of, you know, basically sage wisdom based on so many years of paying attention, of being involved in local politics and in local, you know, labor work and in things like that. And again, she had to start someplace. And I think that's really the message here is this is where our leaders of the future come from. It's just one person, you know, raising their hand and saying, mm-hmm. I'll do it. I'll run for Congress. Now Kristen Lierley is going to be, now she's stuck being a community leader for the rest of her life. Congratulations, Kristen.
I'm just taking care of my patients, friends.
You are.
He's got to.
Yes, but in a way beyond 9 to 5, which is appreciated so much. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for resuming your Monday morning visits with us. Would have been easy for you to just go, that's it.
No, this is a great way to kick off your week, isn't it? I feel fun and energized. I've got a full cup of coffee. Let's go.
All right. My God.
No, Rob from Tigerton joining in. Excellent Monday morning team for information. So
cheers,
that's
Rob.
It. Yes, with our little pop-up bubbles that we're going to come up with a better title for. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Selena. Take care. Have a wonderful week.
Have
Jody Emerson and Christian Phelps, representative-elect. Up next, you're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Singer John Parr is 72 years old today. That was one of his other chart hits besides St. Elmo's Fire on this Monday morning, November 18th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are spending a little bit of time talking about the election that just passed, but trying to spend most of that time looking forward to things that might happen in the legislature, Congress, the White House. And so with the legislature, I note that now WisPolitics has done this, and I wouldn't be surprised if Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media, has as well. But WisPolitics put together a page listing of all the comings and goings in the legislature. There will be 6 new faces in the state Senate. There will be 31 new members of the Wisconsin Assembly, and Inauguration Day for the legislature is scheduled for January 6th. And so joining us right now is one of the new faces, one of the 31 new faces in the Assembly, and one friendly, familiar face. See, I didn't say old face. I said friendly, familiar face in Representative Jody Emerson and Representative-elect Christian Phelps, both from the Eau Claire area. Jody, Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. Nice to have you here. Nice to have
you. I was waiting to see how you were going to walk the line of not calling me old with that one. And
familiar,
well done.
Friendly, trusted, lovely, all the things, all the things. And Christian's here as well to correct the record that all those times that he visited with us on Wednesday mornings for our homeroom segment, when he was there, you know, he was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Apparently, Christian, you're telling me you were living a lie during that. You actually are not a morning person.
I'm not a morning person at all. But I'm willing. It's maybe just it's you. You're hard to say no to. Maybe that's what we're trying to get at here.
There we go. And that, folks, is the definition of friendship right there, where you're afraid to say no to people who might otherwise mock you on the radio. I think it really comes down to that. Christian, congratulations.
Thank you.
What a deal. I mean, you decided when to run for legislature.
Well, it was I used to be a constituent, or I guess I am for another month or so, a constituent of Jody's. And mm-hmm. so it was after the new maps were drawn, and I was, just spent some time in the month of March, I think, just really agonizing over what was the best way to proceed with this new, the new information that we have and how much fairer and more representative the maps are in Wisconsin, and how I really feel like the Eau Claire area and the Chippewa Valley has been, not accurately represented, having only one Democratic member of the assembly in Jody for so long, who was just so unable to get through her spreadsheet of an agenda that she would have liked to get done in the legislature. And so it was March, and then April was when I kind of came to that decision-making process. But it's quick when, with the new maps being signed in February, it's not like you have years to think about this district you live in, because I didn't even live in the 93rd before that.
Right. Jody, you've got a friend.
I've got carpool, buddy. I'm so excited.
So look, you've always had, State Senator Jeff Smith, but you know how those senators are. You know, they get a little senitude going on.
A lot of senitude.
Yeah. I know. I remember it well. He used to accuse me of the same thing when he was in the assembly, but now he's a big shot, as Billy Joel would say. And so he's still representing the area, but what does it mean to have two assembly reps, Democratic reps for the Chippewa Valley, thanks to, the new maps and the expansion of it? Nobody can just say, oh, well, Jody's just the voice for the city of Eau Claire. No, there's voters throughout the Chippewa Valley that are looking at you and Christian and saying, finally.
Yeah, I'm so excited. This allows both Christian and I to not only represent the city of Eau Claire, but the county of Eau Claire. The entire county of Eau Claire is represented by a Democrat in the state assembly. And so people who are outside of the city limits of Eau Claire, Altoona, Fall Creek, Augusta, they're going to be able to have Democratic representation. And it allows us, both of us, to talk to people that haven't been talked to. I know as we were campaigning, Christian and I shared an office, and we talked about how sometimes we'd knock on doors and people would be like, no candidate has ever knocked on my door before. Mm-hmm. So that was the fun part of it, and hoping to carry this momentum, not to move on to the next thing, but carry the momentum into the spring election and make sure that we keep the Supreme Court, and we keep Jill Underley in the state superintendent's race, and do what we can to help progressive values up and down the ticket.
Right. And it's not just the Chippewa Valley. Alicia notes that Lee Snodgrass in the Fox Valley now has some new friends from Northeast Wisconsin in there. Northwest Wisconsin finally has proper, Democratic representation under the new maps as well. Having said all that, we're still going to have a Republican majority, and we're still going to have Robin Voss as Speaker. Jody, we know Robin Voss's record. We know that he sees himself as nothing but an obstructionist to anything that Tony Evers wants to do. If Tony wanted it to rain, he'd want it to be sunny. If Tony said sunny, he'd want it to be rainy. That's just the way this guy operates. Yeah, but still, thinner majority. What hopes do you have that things will be at least a little bit different?
I'm hoping that by him losing 10 seats, that maybe gives him pause, that, the state doesn't necessarily go the way he thinks it goes. And so maybe we're going to be able to talk a little bit more. I also don't know all of the 31 new members and what types of ideas that they bring. I think what we're going to see when a third of the chamber turns over in a single year, we're probably going to have a slower walk in the beginning of the session, just to get everybody used to what the job is. I think it's going to take a little bit of time. And I think it'll take some time for Robin to get some of his people in line too. Not all 55 of his members are big fans of his. So
no.
Who knows what kind of horse trading went on behind the scenes for him to keep the gavel.
Yeah, good point. Christian, obviously you're coming in as a new member, but having seen how the majority, the difference thins between Republicans and Democrats, has that changed since you decided in March to get in, your expectations of what your first session is going to be like?
I don't know. I mean, I think that Jody brings up a good point that there are a lot of kind of things to watch and see what's changed and what hasn't, that you can't really predict necessarily with a thinner majority. But I agree that, you know, I think Tuesday, November 5th was kind of a tough day for those of us that were rooting for Democrats. But the more time that we've had since then to kind of look at what happened, you know, I've seen that Eau Claire County, where Jody and I were the two Democratic Assembly candidates running, didn't see any movement to the right compared to 2020, which really kind of sets it apart from most counties in the country. And if Robin Voss is losing 10 seats in a single day on a day that's good to be a Republican in the United States and in Wisconsin, I think he does, if he's smart, he does have to look at that and say, okay, well, maybe some of the stuff we've been doing isn't so popular. Mm-hmm. And I think if we can really like look at what are the most unpopular things we've seen with the Republican near supermajority, and then push on the things that are the most popular that we want to see get done, I'm hoping that there will be some success or at least some productive negotiation there. And we'll have to see what those things are a little bit.
We're getting a little granular on the details here, Jody, but I just want to kind of think out loud about this, that Robin Voss has been very vocal in his opposition to expanding Medicaid, but maybe, again, he was pretty much the only reason that there wasn't Medicaid expansion, at least for women who were 12 months postpartum, so that they could get care beyond the current 60 days. Is it too much to wish that maybe that's where Voss shows a little detente with Democrats, and Evers is not on expanding Medicaid, but at least expanding care for women after they've given birth?
I mean, I would hope so. In a post-Dobbs world, I think we are seeing the need for that more and more. Women don't just heal up and are ready to go back to their normal lives within, you know, a magic 6 weeks without having any other problems going on sometimes. Some women are, and that's fine. But, you know, whether that postpartum care is used for physical care, mental health care, or just helping parents adjust to their new norm, I think that's really important. I think it's too soon after the post-Dobbs decision to actually get good statistics nationwide. But anecdotally, we're hearing of more babies born with birth defects and things like that may impact infant mortality rates. We already know that we've got a terrible maternal mortality rate for Black mothers, one of the worst in the nation, if not the worst. And so, you know, could we just move this along the way? Maybe there's going to be some movement on the Monday count for early voting. You know, we were really close to that this last session. Maybe we're going to be able to get something through about medical marijuana. There are some things that I don't know where all of the new people land on their belief systems, but maybe it's going to be some people that are coming into the Republican caucus that are going to push Robin Voss to move on some of these issues that we hear about all the time.
How are you feeling about that, Christian, in terms of, again, you're one of 31 new members, and whether you feel like there will be at least some form of bonding there between folks from both parties that could get something done on some of these issues?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, I think it's going to be a really interesting year because that's a lot of new people all at once. And so I think there's a lot of positive that can come from it. You can go in and say like, well, what are the new fresh ideas that this Capitol building has really been needing for such a long time? Like what haven't we seen as far as change? And have to go in with the humility of understanding that we all are going to be learning a new important, you know, consequential job together. And so I think there's a certain amount of bonding that's probably inevitable there when we're all doing that together, and we'll all have to lean on the people that have been there a while, but also probably learn together and think about, you know, what are the things that we can do differently in a responsible way. And I just agree that if other candidates, regardless of party, were hearing anything like what I've been hearing all year, there are some things, I mean, the values that unite people in Wisconsin are so much clearer out in the world than they are if you just watch Capitol proceedings. And, you know, I don't remember any conversations off the top of my head where I encountered somebody who was vehemently opposed to expanding Medicaid for people after they give birth.
Yeah.
You know, or like really against special education funding. I encountered a lot of people who identify themselves as conservatives or Republicans, but agreed with me on a lot of these common sense things that we haven't been seeing. So I hope that the new members can help us, can help the chamber move forward on those things.
Mary writes in on YouTube, hearing you guys talk gives me hope in a post-election apocalyptic feeling. So there you go. You've provided hope already, you guys. And Christian, we'll close with this. There's going to be a lot of talk about the state Supreme Court race in April, but you and I both know the importance of that state superintendent race with Dr. Jill Underley.
Yeah, and there's no clearer evidence of how important that is than the budget that she just put forward for the next biennium, which I think really takes a hard look at how responsible the more representative chambers can be in the Capitol, and looks at the huge surplus we have and says, if DPI is headed by somebody who's pro public education and understands the needs of students and educators, it makes a huge difference as far as how the state can look at its budget and prioritize the next generation, which I always say is by far the most important thing to prioritize with every dollar that we spend.
Without a doubt, because otherwise you get a situation like in Oklahoma, where you've got or North Carolina as well. They've got state superintendents who are just taking their states in ridiculous directions. So thankfully, we have leaders like you coming into the state assembly, and leaders like Jody Emerson, who have been there. Which term is this for you now, Jody?
This is starting the fourth term.
Starting the fourth term. They're very lucky to have you. And we're very thankful for all the ribbing that you get up this early to talk with us. Jody Emerson, Christian Phelps, thanks. Let's make it a regular thing. But knowing what I know about you guys, not too regular.
Yeah.
Or we could, you know, pre-record sometimes.
Oh, let's not give away all of our magic tricks. All right, you guys, have a great day. Jane Matinair is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tony says it best on YouTube. It's a Matinair Monday as Jane Matinair joins us, standing directly behind Greg in the booth down there at Radio Park, which I love. I love this view so much. It so gives Jimmy Fallon slow jamming the news on this, where Jane's going to say something about coming up on the show, and then Greg's going to translate it, going, oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Jane, how are you?
I am well, Mr. Kreitlow. Welcome back from vacay. I know you had snafu at the beginning, but I hope you enjoyed yourself anyway.
We were at the Twin Cities Airport to head to Idaho by way of Denver, and we knew there was a snowstorm hitting Denver, and they said at the gate in Minneapolis, looks like we're going to have to delay this. We're probably going to delay about an hour, which of course means all day.
Of course.
It's only going to get worse. But we're going to delay it for an hour, so stay in the gate area. Well, there might have been a little establishment right across the way. So we quickly went over there, got ourselves on some bar stools, had beverages you would not normally have at that hour of the day. And 5 minutes later, they're like, we're going to board. So if you could board now, I haven't slammed something like that since my senior year of college, but I'm like, I'm going to get my money's worth. Do you know how much they charge?
Yeah, exactly.
Airport bars?
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So we get on the plane. We get there. We land. It's not terrible, but it is definitely snowing. And we get there, and it's like, the worst is about to hit, so we've now canceled everything. So you're not getting to Idaho. So we ended up being stranded at an airport hotel in Denver for a day. It turned out to be just the thing we needed. We thought, you know, we're just going to go right to Idaho. We're going to jump right into the family thing. We get to this airport hotel, 4:30 in the afternoon, and we're like, let's just take a little nap, and then maybe we'll go get some dinner. Sure. Maybe we'll get some drinks. No, out for the whole rest of the night after that.
Well, then you needed it, so that's good.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Did you get or are you making plans for any little time off here? Or did you jump right into the maelstrom?
We are going to take a couple days off right after Thanksgiving is the plan. So next week, Greg and I will be off Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. That is the plan for right now. So, yeah, take a little breather and then jump back into it for December.
Are you a Thanksgiving dinner maker?
I am not. I am not a very good cook. Pat, I've managed not to poison my husband in the 22 years we've been married. Thank you. I'll accept that. But no, it's not something that I enjoy. For me, cooking is like punishment.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. And I was very thankful that my daughter on Saturday night said we're going to do Thanksgiving early, since we may not see either of our daughters over the holidays. It's kind of one of those off-year things where we had both daughters last year over the holidays. And so they'll do things with their other respective families. And so it was nice to have that, but it's always, and again, everything turned out great, but there's always that, oh, did we take the turkey out in time? You know, now you got to cook it the right amount, and there's so much stress that goes into it. And it turns out fine for many people much of the time, but it is not a stress-free occasion, shall we say.
No, it really isn't. No. So I'm grateful to have my sister is a good cook. My niece and my great-niece are both good cooks. So they are the ones who are going to be hosting this year, which is lovely because I just show up and bring booze. That I can do.
just right in my wheelhouse. There I so go. Understand this. Kristen Lyerly mentioned it during the commercial break that her sister puts on an appy Thanksgiving. So it's just all apps. So that there's no stress about a big turkey dinner.
That's fantastic.
That is a fantastic idea. I don't like turkey. My husband doesn't like turkey. We're not.
Nobody likes turkey. It's like you have to have it with enough gravy or enough salt or enough brine or whatever. But turkey, if it was that good, people would be having it all the time.
I agree. And
people do have it all the time. Turkey sandwiches. But turkey is great.
I'm talking about the turkey making the turkey in the oven is not, it's not anybody's favorite.
Okay. Well,
there's nobody saying, it's Friday.
Listen to Pat Krylo just talking for me. Greg
is Greg's now on a challenge to make a turkey dinner at least once a month throughout 2025. We're going to hold him to it.
Greg, have you ever outside of Thanksgiving made a whole turkey?
Christmas.
That doesn't
You asked the question. I answered the question. You answered the question. I answered the question. You answered the. No, I mean, no. That wasn't the point. You're talking about the laborious nature of making a turkey. I'm talking about the taste of a turkey when I have it. So
Mary's telling us turkey tacos afterwards is awesome.
Sounds good.
I'm not sure if I have ever had anything like that. Although they're doing more with Thanksgiving pizzas, with the turkey and the gravy and the cranberries and sandwiches.
No.
They're trying to make it a thing.
No. That shouldn't be a thing.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Alicia's saying that they do Cornish hens, which makes again, a nice twist on it.
That's not bad.
No, there are things that could work here.
I had to tell my family this year because it always ends up happening is we end up having a big Thanksgiving dinner, but also just as big of an appetizer fest beforehand. So people eat the appetizers. And by the time we get to Thanksgiving dinner, we're halfway through and we're like, I'm so full. I'm so full and tired.
Yes, you can absolutely overdo it with the appetizers. And then, just kind of ruin the dinner. Jane, what you got going this week on the program?
Dom Salvia will be joining us from the wonderful Dom Salvia Show from 4 to 6 p.m. here across Civic Media. He will join us tomorrow morning at 10:33 on Thursday. Retired Major General Randy Manner and a member of National Security Leaders for America is going to join the show to talk about the President-elect's cabinet picks, including Pete Hegseth and Matt Gaetz. So we'll be kicking that around. And Mitch McConnell has just shut it down. No recess appointments from Brian Allen. Thank you, Greg.
Yep. All right. Well, We'll see. We'll see.
It's just, I want to see that House Ethics Committee report on Matt Gaetz. That's what I'd like to see.
One step at a time. Thank you, Jane. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Glad you're back.
Jane and Greg, back at 10 o'clock for Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so much for being part of our Monday morning, getting back in action as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more...
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.